हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम् ओम श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम. So next week onwards, we will enter into the mantra reading, understanding the mantras, along with the Shankara's commentary on those mantras. In this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, when the Srishti was discussed, briefly, one important topic was taken for discussion, that is, when it the state the Pravesha Shrutihi came, the Pravesha Shrutihi means Anupravesha Shrutihi, is the entry of Paramatma into the creation. And that was discussed very clearly, said there is no real entry. Paramatma cannot enter, there is no entry, because Paramatma is already of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, entry is not there, but the entry expression entry is used. Praveshaha iti shabdasya prayogaha tatra kriyate. Why the expression entry is used? Because just to say the Paramatma is available for recognition in the mind, which is subtlest of the manifestations. So pravesha shrutya, through this panpravesha shrutihi, Paramatma's availability, Paramatma being available for recognition, the mind alone, is revealed. That is made very clear. Then later on, if Paramatma is already available for recognition as the very Sakshi, then still why there is samsara? That was also discussed. So samsara, it means this should pravesha anupravesha shruti vakyam itself states the oneness of the truth. Paramatma jivatma swarupa aikyam also is indirectly revealed by the pravesha shruti. Therefore, that the question came, if jivatma identical with paramatma, if already there's no jivatma at all, there's only paramatma is there, then the moksha is already there, which means and then why there is samsara, the discussion also came. Then we discussed, we saw how the because of the samipyam, because of the proximity, because of the upadhi upahita samipyam, because of the inseparable closeness, closest nearness of the upadhi and upahita, upahita atma chaitanyam and upadhi anatma, because the inseparability, that upadhi dharmas are superimposed upon the upahita chaitanyam. Therefore, there's no real samsara. There's a samsara is seemingly there. Also made very clear. And for which, so to distinguish the upahitam from the upadhi, thereby to see that jivatma being already paramatma, the paramatma being available as the very atma, one's own swarupam. Then next statement is given here. That is what we started seeing actually. That is the Vidyas, which is called Vidyasutram. Vidyasutram, I can tell you, when we go back to the mantras, we'll read those mantras again from next class. In the Prathama Adhyaya, in the first chapter, in the fourth Brahmanam, Vidyasutram comes. Towards the end of the one mantra, big mantra, this is the seventh mantra, is a big mantra. In the fourth Brahmanam, seventh mantra is a big mantra. In that mantra, this Vidyasutram also comes. Why we have taken separately? Because very important, that's why we have taken separately that one. It is Atme Teva Upasita. Atma Iti Eva Upasita. So here, Atma iti eva upasita is the statement, and this is called Vidya Sutram. What he told you, Sutram is an aphorism. Vidya means knowledge. Vidya Sutra means a brief statement of knowledge, which reveals the knowledge, which reveals the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. So you can call it a Mahavakyam also. Actually, Mahavakyam is a different one. There must be two things must be there. There must be two factors, and then the two factors, one must be equated to the other. Then we call it a Mahavakyam, which reveals the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma. So here, it is not a Mahavakyam, but like a Mahavakyam, because this statement also reveals the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. Therefore, it is also called a Vidya Sutra. Atma iti eva upasita. So, here the word upasita, even though literally it means may one meditate, actually it means may one understand. The word upasita here actually means may one know, may one understand this Atma. May one understand that Brahma. Actually, may one understand that Brahman being already Atma. This Atma eva, that Brahma, which Brahma, the Brahman which was earlier discussed, which was mentioned, implied by the word avyakritam, was said to be the cause of everything, from which everything has come into existence. So which alone is the name of everything, without which the universe cannot exist at all. That Brahma, in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, is implied by the word avyakritam. That Brahman is another than this Atma. That Brahman is this Atma. The Atma means what here? This, the all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, obtaining as very Surupam of I, Surupam of as the very sak witness of the mind, is another than this Atma, is the Brahman. That Brahman is this Atma. So may one understand that Brahman being this Atma. If you understand that Brahman is this Atma, then we can, that Brahman alone is here as the Atma, the Sakshi, Manasaha Sakshi, the witness of the mind. Then with the Upadhi, Upahita Veda will be very clear. Then samsara can be resolved. Therefore here, this Vidya Sutram is given here. Now, this Vidya Sutram, I've already said, is very important because later on there's going to be Mahavakyam, and all those later on mantras and the which actually the portions dealing with Mahavakyam actually will be explained later on, and all the explanations, all the unfoldment of the Mahavakyam is going to come later on, is based on this Vidya Sutram. Over here, so Atma, the meaning of the Atma also is very clear for us. Apnoti Charumiti Atma. So Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. That is why the very reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, it is implied by the name, word Atma. So then that reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, happens to be nothing but pure consciousness, the Chaitanyam. This, the consciousness alone is implied by the term Atma. And that Atma is actually that Brahman is this Atma. It means consciousness is Atma, therefore consciousness is, that Brahman is this Atma, the consciousness. It's also very clear. But now, we understood earlier how to distinguish here. This, what is Atma? This Atma Chaitanyam, this Atma, the consciousness, is there, because of its pervasiveness, is there as the hearer, as the seer, as the one who smells, as the one who thinks, as a thinker. Which means there are many functions on the part of the sense powers. The seeing, the function of seeing, the function of hearing, the function of smelling, the function of tasting, function of the knowing. All these are possible because of the blessing of Atma by its mere presence. Therefore we say, even though Atma is not the seer, hearer, smeller, etc., still there cannot be seer, there cannot be hearer, there cannot be the smeller or the thinker without the blessing of the Atma. Therefore, Atma is there in seeing, in hearing, in smelling, in thinking, in all the functions. Atma is very much there as the very Surupa of every function. Therefore, Atma is there as the one who is the seer, hearer, etc. Even though Atma is not the seer, there is no seer, hearer without the Atma. But one thing we have to understand here, when there is function of seeing, when the attention is totally in seeing, definitely there is no hearing. Hearing doesn't take. When there is hearer, when there is seer, there is no. When one function is happening, other function does not happen. Because when you are totally involved in the function of listening, then there is no, even though you are seeing, but there is no seeing happens. Therefore, the hearer, seer, thinker, all of them cannot coexist. When there is thinker, there is no hearer or seer. When there is hearer, there is no seer. When there is seer, there is no hearer. Which means all these statuses, the status of being the hearer, status of being the knower, all these different statuses are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist. So the hearer status has to go for the seer status to come. The seer status has to go for the one who, the status of being the thinker to be there. Which means they are mutually exclusive. Whereas, even though the statuses are exclusive of each other, consciousness, Atma as pure consciousness, is not absent in any of this. Whether the seer goes, the hearer comes. When the seer is, Atma is. When the seer goes, the hearer comes, still Atma is. Atma has to be. Only then hearer can be. The hearing is possible. Therefore, Atma is always there. Therefore, that's what Sarva Gatatvam implies. The statuses can vary. Like even you can say, even in our three states of experience, the dream experience can go, the waking experience can go, the deep sleep state experience can go. Experiences can exclude each other mutually. But what cannot be excluded is the Atma, the consciousness. So Atma is always there in all three states of experience, in all the statuses, in terms of when there's a hearer or a smeller or a thinker, in every status, Atma is very much present there. So what is non-excludable, what cannot be excluded at all, and what is always there is this all-pervasive reality in terms of consciousness, implied by the term Atma. Therefore, this non-Atma, with this all-pervasive reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, which cannot be excluded, which is non-excluded in any of these statuses, which is always there, is Atma, and which is there, and this Atma is that Brahma. That Brahman, Avyakrutam, which alone was there before the entire universe came into existence, that Brahman is this Atma. That is what is, may one understand that Brahman being this Atma, is what revealed by this Vidya Sutram, Atma Ityeva Upasita. Therefore, here, Now, when this verb, now, Atma itteva upasita, upasita, if you take it, it is a vidhiling shabdaha. In grammar, we can say it's a vidhiling shabdaha. It's a word, it's a verb, not really a verb, simple present tense verb or past tense verb. The verb doesn't denote the tense, the kala. The verb actually indicates a vidhi. Vidhi means an order and commandment. Upasita, like a creator, kuriyat, kuru, yajeta, like this. This also is a vidhiling shabdaha, which is a potential mood word. So we say this indicates an order commandment. Therefore, here comes a big bhashyam of Bhashyankara Bhagavatpada. The Pura Mimamsakaha, the Karma Kandi, who is given totally committed to the Karma Kanda of the Veda, and who values only the performance of rituals and the enjoyment of the results of those rituals. Rituals is actually taken for discussion here in this context, because the Pura Mimamsakaha values only karma. Pura Mimamsakaha does not have any value for jnanam. Jnanam means especially the Vedanta, the jnanam obtaining in the Vedantic portion. For him, the entire Vedaha, even though a Vedanti, Uttara Mimamsakaha, a Vedanti looks at the Veda, entire Veda as a Pramanam, the whole Veda as a Pramana Grantaha. But ultimate goal for Vedanti is Jnanam, which itself is Mokshaha. We have to be very clear here. Uttara Mimamsakaha means a Vedanta Shastrajnaha, a Veda person who is a Vedanti, who is known as a Vedanti, definitely values entire Veda as the Pramana Grantaha. The Vedanti does not undermine the Karmakanda portion of the Veda at all. You have to remember very carefully. Vedanti definitely values the entire Veda. Entire Veda is a Pramanam for a Vedanti. But he knows the Karmakanda is Karmakandaha gives us knowledge of the know-how of rituals, knowledge of the rituals. So one has to perform rituals, one has to invoke the grace of devatas, and one has to live in harmony with Bhagavan in the form of devatas, and one has to enjoy the benefits of the results, benefits of these performance of rituals. Thereby one can understand how Karmakanda rituals serve as a means of accomplishing the other three ends required for life, Artha Kama Dharmas. So all these time-bound ends, Artha Kama Dharmas, are accomplishable through the performance of rituals. They are important. At the same time, the Upasanam also sometimes contributes for the greater results, even including accomplishment, attainment of the Surga, etc. Anyway, whether we practice rituals separately or whether we practice rituals along with the practice of meditation, ultimately the Karma Upasana Kanda can help us accomplish only Artha Kama Dharmas. Therefore, it is very important for one to enjoy them, to learn the limit, to understand the limitations, thereby to grow out of desire for them also. So, according to Vedanta Shastrajnaha, living one's life properly means going through all the ashramas and thereby becoming mature and thereby later on seeing the value of the knowledge revealed in the Vedanta Shastram, and also thereby as having aspiration for that knowledge, attaining the knowledge and thereby enjoying the benefit of the knowledge is the ultimate goal of a human being. So this is how a Vedanta Shastrajna sees the whole Veda as the entire Veda as the Pramana Grantaha. It does not undermine the ritualistic portion, but still he does not take the ritualistic portion alone as the important one. For him, the ultimate goal of a human being is jnanam, which itself is mokshaha. And for that jnanam, Vedanta Shastram is the pramanam. And for the Vedanta Shastra pramanam to be effective, one has to go through the karma kanda, karma upasana kandas also. So they are supportive of the complement. Karma kanda, karma upasana kandas are complementary for the jnana kanda. Because they prepare the mind for the content before the mental preparation required for the jnana kanda. That is how a Vedanti sees the whole Veda. It will be very clear for us. And here, because he sees the whole Veda as the pramanam, he also sees the order being involved in performing ritual, in enjoying the result of the ritual, and the production of the ritual result also. Everywhere, Uttaramimamsakaha, a Vedanti, is able to see the order. And that he looks at that order also as manifestation of Arach, and he calls that order as Ishvara. See, for Uttaramimamsakaha, Ishvara is very, very important. Vedanti, Ishvaraha is very important. Now, now we are coming back to this tangent now. Atmete Upasita. In this context, word Upasita happens to be the statement happens to be a statement of vidhi. Even though it is not a statement of vidhi, the verb indicates a vidhi. May one know this Atma being that Brahman. Or may one understand that Brahman alone is here as this Atma. This is what is revealed by Vidya Sutra. But Purvimamsakaha, for whom we had to understand Purvimamsakaha before we enter into these arguments. See, the Purvimamsakaha, for him, the entire Veda is not a Jnana Pradhanaha, Karma Pradhanaha. Whereas the Vedanti, Veda is a Jnana Pramanam, that is. For him, Karma Pradhanaha Veda. Main aim of the Veda is the performance of ritual and enjoying the benefit of what we do is the aim of the Veda according to Karma Kandi Purvimamsakaha. And so any knowledge you gain through the Veda also should be implemented in terms of the karma. Only then that portion is important for him. Otherwise, mere knowledge is secondary, not at all important. So, Karma Kandi Purvamsakaha says that knowledge is required only ultimately to perform the ritual. So, performance of ritual, performance of karma is important. Therefore, even moksha is not possible without the performance of karma. How he presents, how he says this. See, in the Karma Kanda, there are statements of commandments. Statements of commandments are called vidhi vakyani. So vidhi vakyani are pradhanani. Statements of commandments are very important. Therefore, performance of ritual is important. And here, and not only vidhi vakyani implies vidhi nisheda vakyani also. There are statements which reveal the do's which have to be performed. And there are statements which should not be performed. It should not be done. So, vidhi nisheda vakyani or vidhi vakyani are important statements according to him. See, if there's a statement which does not command any action, then that statement is not important for him. For example, a statement revealing the fact is not an important statement at all. Suppose if we say, there is a bus stand, if we say, and there's a simple statement of fact. There is a bus stand, go and take the bus and go somewhere. If we say, that is an important statement for him. That is, a statement of fact is not important because it doesn't expect it to do anything. A statement of commandment is useful because it makes you do something. A statement which makes you do something alone is important. Otherwise, you will not do anything. If you do not do anything, you cannot achieve anything. If you cannot achieve, then there is no purushartha there. Achievement purushartha, the achievement is possible only when it's a result. The result is possible only when it's a karma. And a karma is powerful only when there is a vidhi. There is an order. A commandment must be there. Because a commandment, you know, will make you do, will make a person do something. That is why they say the statements of vidhi are important. Even Mahavakyam such as Tattvamasi or Aham Brahmasmi, I am Atma Brahma, these Mahavakyams, there's the simple statements of facts. They are Mahavakyams, no doubt. They reveal an amazing fact, but still there's no command. There's no commandment there. Therefore, there's no vidhi there. Therefore, they do not make you do anything. Therefore, they are not important. So, this called Siddha Bodhaka Vakyani. So, Vidhi Vakyani are Pradhanani. Why? Because they make you do something, thereby they help you achieve something. Whereas the Siddha Bodhaka Vakyani, so Siddha Bodhaka Vakyani is already Puratra Siddham, Purameva Siddham. The fact which is already there need not be achieved by you. Nothing can be achieved by knowing the fact. Nothing is newly achieved. It is already there. Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam, the statement of fact. You understand the statement, then nothing is achieved. That's all. Therefore, for them, it is not important. Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam is not important. So here, Shankara Bhagavatpada made it very clear. Yes, Siddha Bodhaka Vakyani are important in the Jnana Kanda. Whereas, the Vidhi Vakyani are important in the Karma Kanda. So, a Vedanti does not deny the importance of the Vidhi Vakyani, but they are important, they serve the purpose, they make sense only in the karma upasana kanda portions. But in jnana kanda portion, vidhi vakyani are not important. There, siddha bodhaka vakyam, the statement of fact itself is enough, it serves a purpose. That's what Shankara Bhagavatpada makes very clear. But a Puramimamsaka wants to say, no, the entire Veda is karma pradhanaha. The entire Veda is only for establishing, only for making us do the karma and thereby enjoy the result, thereby achieve. So purushartha praptyartham. So purushartha praptyartham, we need to do karma. For accomplishment of the human pursuit, we need to do karma. And for that karma, jnanam, what we need alone is given in the Veda. Therefore, the knowledge of Veda must be implemented in the form of a performance, of some doing something, ritual. to accomplish the purusharta. That is how Veda serves as a pramanam, the means of the attainment of moksha. That is how they see, Purivamsakas see the whole Veda. Therefore, so he wants to establish, Purivamsakaha wants to establish that Jnana Kandaha also has Vidhi Nisheda Vakyani. Even though there are certain statements of facts, Jnana Kanda also only emphasizes Vidhi Nisheda Vakyani. He doesn't say that Karma Kanda alone is says Vidhi Nisheda Vakyani. Jnana Kanda also actually gives importance for Vidhi Nisheda Vakyani only. That is his argument. Therefore, he wants to say that karma and jnanam, the jnanam has to be followed by karma for it to be effective, for the result to be enjoyed, for a person to accomplish any end. Therefore, and this state, this verb here, upasita, is the verb. And this verb is very useful for him because the verb is in ling, with the ling. With the ling verb. Because it indicates a vidhi. May one understand upasita. May one understand that Brahman being this Atma. Here, in this statement, Atmete upasita also. The verb upasita happens to be a vidhi. Ling shabdaha. It takes as a commandment. Is you must know, one should know, may one know, means there is a vidhi, there is a commandment. So, the verbal ending, always called the verbal termination, kriyapada pratyaya, the affix here is what the ta, upasita. That the affix he takes. And he says, therefore, this the takaraha, which comes in this verb upasita, indicates what? Indicates the vidhi. Therefore, in the, even though this comes in the portion of Vedanta, still there is a vidhi. So Vedanta Shastram also, Jnana Kandaha also, definitely involves a person in karma. Therefore, Veda is karma pradanaha. But now, Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to refute his view. And before he refutes his view, it's very important to understand Purvimamsakaha. Certain views of Purvimamsakaha we need to understand. The Purvimamsakaha has his own way of interpreting this vidhihi, the commandment. See, Purvimimamsakaha is a Vaidikaha who accepts the Veda, who believes in the Veda, which means who believes, who has tremendous amount of Shraddha in and performing the rituals and enjoying the benefits of the rituals. And he totally believes in the accomplishment of even the results in terms of Swarga, etc. Even though Swarga is something accomplished after the death, but still he believes, accepts that Vedic thing that one can accomplish Swarga. Attaining, going to heaven, enjoying heavenly pleasures also, he accepts, he believes. But what he does not believe is Ishvaraha. Purvimamsakaha, for a Purvimamsakaha, there is no Ishvaraha. There is no God. So according to him, the religious, living a religious life means performing rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda and seeing the entire Veda as the Karma Pradhanaha and enjoying the benefits of the knowledge in terms of the results of the rituals is the Purushartha for him. So he will, with great Shraddha, perform the rituals, yajnas, yagas, but he doesn't accept Ishwaraha. So according to him, Ishwaraha is not the karma phaladata. So not only Ishwara is not the karma phaladata, according to him, even the Veda is not Ishwara's, Bhagavan's teaching. Whereas a Vedanti looks at the entire Veda as, in Bhagavatam, in all the Puranas, Vyasacharya makes very clear that how Veda Shastram has come from Bhagavan. When Ishwara is discussed here, we say Veda, so Sahayagya Praja Srishtva, everywhere, Bain Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, all the Puranas, is made very clear, Veda Shastram has come from Bhagavan. That is why we can talk, that is how we can talk about the perennial eternity of the Vedas. So, Veda has come from Bhagavan. Bhagavan has taught Veda. We say this. But Purnamasakha does not accept the Ishwara. According to him, Veda is there. Timelessly, he accepts the timelessness of the Veda. But he does not accept Ishwara, that Veda has given, Veda has come from Bhagavan, he doesn't accept. So Veda is a great means of knowledge and which reveals, which consists of the knowledge revealing the rituals, Paramanta rituals, and the results accomplishable through the Paramanta rituals, etc. So, he doesn't give the authorship of Veda to Bhagavan. It means, who has written the Veda? Then if Bhagavan has not given the Veda, where has Veda come from? He says, Veda has not come from anywhere. Veda is there beginninglessly. So for him, Veda is anadihi, that he accepts. Then, suppose in Veda, there are vidhivakyani, the statements of commandments. It means a command must come from a conscious being. Veda as a body of knowledge is what? Where is the text? At least now we have the text. Those days, Vedaha as the knowledge was the most thoughts only. In the mind, in the thoughts, Veda Shastram, which got revealed to the rishis, were in the form of thoughts. So knowledge, any knowledge is in the form of a thought, and Veda as body of knowledge also was in the form of thoughts only. In the form of mind, in the mind. And the mind is, we know, the thoughts are inert. So Veda Jnanam is inert. So, but Veda by itself cannot reveal the commandments. So commandment implies something which should come from a conscious being. So how can the Veda, being inert by itself, present the commandments? We say, therefore we means Vedanta Shastrajnas, Uttaravimamsakas always say, Bhagavan's commandments, Bhagavan alone commands through the words of the Shastra. So any Vedic commandment is looked upon as Ishwara's commandment. Whereas Puravamsakaha says, no, there's no Ishvara who commands. It is Veda Shastram itself commands. Veda Shastram itself has that unique capacity to command. So, Puravamsakaha says, no, even though the Uttaramsakaha says, no inert thing can command or give any order. The Puravamsakaha sees it differently. What, according to him, a verb, a kriya padam itself is capable of commanding. Kriya padasya visesha shaktirasti. Kriya padameva agyapayitam shaknoti. Kriya padam, a verb, is agyapayitam shaknoti. A kriyapadam, a verb itself, is capable of presenting a command, revealing a command, an order. That is, a verb, a shabda itself has, a word has the capacity to command, reveal the commandment, and especially a verb has the capacity to command. And this, especially this, the Vidhiling Padani, he says, this unique capacity on the part of the word to reveal a commandment, to present the order, is bhavana. It is called bhavana. So the shabd is called shabdi bhavana. Shabdi bhavana means shabdasya ajnapayitum ya shaktirasti. The power of the word, the unique power of the word, which is capable of revealing the commandment, is called shabdi bhavana. Therefore, creator means that the verbal termination, the, actually has that what no? Shabdi bhavana. Shabdi bhavana is the unique power of the word or a verb which is capable of commanding, which is presenting the commanding, revealing the commandment. It's called a shabdi bhavana. So, the shabdi bhavana, it won't know. There's a bhavana, and the shabdi bhavana is actually the power of the creating, creates. The power of creating. The word has a power of creating something. What does it create? It creates the inclination on the part of the listener. So the power of creating the inclination on the mind of a listener is located in the word, which is called a shabdi bhavana. And once the word is heard, may one do this, may you go, may you sit. When a person listens to this, naturally it creates the inclination to do. For example, if you simply say there is a shop, that doesn't create any inclination in you. go to the shop, buy things, you say, that creates an inclination. Before the verb, the word as a verb definitely has this shabdi bhavana, the power of creating the inclination on the part of the listener. And once the inclination is created, then the person does. He is inclined to do something. Then he does it, thereby he enjoys the benefit of doing something. So it creates the inclination to do, and that inclination to do is what now? Kartavyata buddhihi. Iti kartavyam iti buddhihi. Kartavyam iti buddhihi. Iti kartavyata buddhihi. It is, I have to do this. I must do this. That buddhi comes. Therefore, kartavyata buddhi janakam. So, buddhi janaka shaktihi. So, this verb is endowed with the power of creating the inclination to do, which is called iti kartavyata buddhihi. And the kartavya buddhihi. You can say kartavyata buddhihi or kartavya buddhihi. And this kartavyata buddhihi or kartavya buddhihi is called what? Arthi bhavana. Arthi bhavana means I should do it, I should achieve it. That this inclination is called arthi bhavana. Therefore, the inclination created in the mind of a person is called arthi bhavana. And the creating power on the part of the word is called shabdi bhavana. So he like this, we have, he talks about this, the Uttari Vamsakaha, the Puri Vamsakaha, Karmakandi. He believes this, there is shabdi bhavana and there is arthi bhavana. So shabdi bhavana is the power of the word, the creative power of the word, which is capable of creating the inclination on the part of the listener. This is called shabdi bhavana. And the inclination created on the part of the individual, the listener, one who listens to the word and who is inclined to do, you know, is called what? Arthi bhavana. Intonation is arthi bhavana. Therefore, once this is there, actually, it is said in the Karmakanda, in the Karmakanda Bhashyam, the arthi bhavana and the shabdi bhavana, they are of three factors. Shabdi bhavana is of three factors. Arthi bhavana is also of three factors. And what are those three factors? We need to understand here. Kim bhavayitavyam. Kim bhavayitavyam. Kim kartavyam. First fact is what? Once you hear this word, this vidhivakyam or vidhi shabdaha, kuryat, akriyeta, once you listen, aryajeta, immediately the vidhivakyam, get what now? The questions come. What should be done? Kim kartavyam or kim bhavayitavyam? Then kena kartavyam. So what is the means of doing it? Then katham kartavyam, how it must be done. So what should be done? The first factor. One should know first of all what should be done. Then kena kartavyam, what is the means of doing it? With what means? By what means should it be done? Then katham kartavyam, how it should be done? These are the three factors. Once these three factors are very clear for us, then we can do the needful, we can fulfill our ends. This is what Purvamamsakaha says. Purvamamsakaha looks at each chapter like this. He says, there is a Vidhivakyam. And when you see the Vidhivakyam, and the whole chapter begin, the whole chapter actually has the answer for these three questions. The three factors are form the content of each chapter. See, for example, he gives example here. A simple statement. Swarga kamaha jyotish tomena yajeta. This is the statement quite often used by Shankara in many of his commentaries. Swarga kamaha jyotish tomena yajeta. The one who wants to go to Swarga, may that person perform the Jyotishta Homa. It is a statement. So now, what is to be Kim Kartavyam? What is to be accomplished? Is the first question. What is to be done? One has to go to Swarga. Okay? We can say Swargaha Praptavyaha. So one must attain Swarga. And the first answer you get, for the first question, you will get the answer. Okay? Kena Kartavyam. Now, Kena Praptavyam. How should it be achieved? No. Kena. What is the means of attaining Swarga? This Jyotishtomena. So, may one accomplish Swarga, attain Swarga, go to Swarga by performing this Jyotishtoma. So, Katham. Now, how? How? Jyotishtoma is okay. But how one should accomplish Swarga? Means, this is the means, but how should be done? Katham Praptavyam. Means, how the Jyotishtoma should be performed. Means, that who is the Devata to be invoked? But then, as an answer for the question Katham, we understand all these things. Who is the Devata to be invoked? What are all the mantras to be chanted? How many times they should be chanted? What are the oblations to be offered? Etc. All the details, the know-how of the ritual. Also we have as the katham, as the answer for the question, katham, how it should be done. So, kim kartavyam, kena kartavyam, katham kartavyam. What should be accomplished? By what means should it be accomplished? And how it should be accomplished? If we get this, he says, every chapter, any chapter will have the answer for these three questions. This is a methodology, method of doing the ritual, etc. We can understand in that chapter. So accomplishing the result is the purushartha for him. Result of an action is the purushartha. Therefore, he says, the same thing is here also in this now statement. After all this, we have to come to this statement. Atmeteva upasita. And he, Purvamamsakaha, takes this statement. He says, the same thing is here revealed here through this statement also. There is a Vidhivakyam. Because upasita is a Vidhishabdaha. Therefore, there's a Shabdi Bhavana. There's a Shabdi Bhavana. You know, Shabdi Bhavana, the creative power of the verb. The power to create inclination to do something is created by the Takara in that Shabda, Upasita. And that word, the creative power of the verb is there at the end of the verb in terms of verbal termination, tha. Which is Shabdi Bhavana. And the Shabdi Bhavana creates what? Arthi Bhavana. The inclination to do. Therefore, I should know. I should know. It means may one understand. May one know. According to him. Once this Vidhi Vakyam comes, what now? We have to think of these three factors of Arthi Bhavana. What are they? What should I know? No, what is the means by which I should know? Then how I should know? What should I understand? By what is the means I should understand? By which I should understand? And how I should know? How I should understand? So once this statement comes, he looks at it the same way. We have to have answer for these three questions, which means once you get the answer for these three questions, then we arrive at the answer that Atma is what should I know? I should understand Atma. That's fine. Then I understand the Atma. Then what is the means by which I should understand Atma? Here there is a means here. Atma, the answer, it's the explanation. Atma is of this nature of all pervasiveness, timelessness, etc. There's a nature of Atma discussed there. So, through those words, we understand the nature of the Atma. Okay? Then, how we should understand the Atma? There's a way how we should understand this Atma also. And here, actually, Shankara Bhagavatpada only mentions only one small statement. Bhavanamsha Traya Sattvat. It's only one sentence he mentions in his commentary. It means Bhavanamsha Traya means what? I said, what should be done? By what means it should be done? How it should be done? There is Bhavanamshatraya. He only mentions this. Actually, all the details which we are discussing now are given by sub-commentators. Therefore, this Atmete Upasita also should be taken in the same way, understood, which means after knowing the Atma, then some karma is important. Karma is also implied there. That's what Purvamhamsaka's argument. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada, first he refutes this, he says, see, when you take a sentence, Jyoti, Surga Kamaha Jyotishtomena Yajeta, when it is said, there we can accept. Yes, we can find answer for these three questions. Then it can be performed. Then we can enjoy the benefit of the result. There Vidhi is important. Vidhi Vakyam is relevant in that context. Whereas here, Atmete Upasita, even though the verb is a vidhi, the vidhi is not relevant here. May one understand Brahman to be this Atma. Once you understand, afterwards, then nothing needs to be done. Understanding itself is moksha. Understanding itself is the phalam. Therefore, nothing needs to be done after knowing. See, Jyotishtomena Yajeta, that vidhi vakyam. Once you understand the nohu of the ritual, katam, kim kartavyam, katam kartavyam, kena kartavyam, by what means it should be done, everything you understand, afterwards you need to perform the ritual to enjoy the benefit. There vidhi is relevant. Whereas here, may one understand the Atma, this vidhi is not relevant because once you understand the Atma, afterwards you don't need to do anything. Therefore, That is not acceptable, that vidhi is not there in the jnana kanda. Vidhi is relevant only in the karma kanda, not in the jnana kanda. So first, this is the first answer Shankara Bhagavad Pada gives very briefly. Afterwards, it continues. So Purvamsakaha will say, after knowing the Atma, nothing needs to be done. But the statement says what? Know the Atma. There is a vidhi. Know the Atma. May one understand the Atma. Brahman being the Atma. Because even this upasita, may one understand, that verb really creates the inclination to know. It creates the desire to know. Why? Even I want to know the Atma. The desire to know the Atma is created, inclination to know the Atma is created by that kriya, that vidhi. Then, after that, Atma's nature is elaborately discussed and described only at the later portion of the Veda. Not in the very beginning. Therefore, what it means is, it creates that vidhivakyam, creates the interest in the part of the listener to know the Atma. Then afterwards, what? The Atma is described later on. Therefore, you have to read, study, learn the later portion of the Veda to understand the Atma. Therefore, the reading, the vidhivakyam is followed by what? Another, one should read, one should learn, one should study. Again, another karma is followed. Therefore, may you understand Atma, but to understand Atma, you have to understand how? You have to read, learn, study the Upanishad, study the later portion of the mantras, which means again, there's another karma followed. Vidhivakyam is followed by another action. You not simply followed by another action. Act of what? Act of reading, act of learning, act of studying follows. Therefore, he says, there's a vidhivakyam. The karma is important. Not knowledge is not important. Karma is important. So, vidhivakyam, the statement of commandment orders you to read, you know, to study. Study what? He says, we can say, Atmavadi Vakyam. Here, the statements revealing the nature of the Atma are said to be Atmavadi Vakyani. Again, I can tell you, statements revealing the nature of the Atma are said to be Atmavadi Vakyani. So, when this may understand the Atma, that vidhivakyam creates the inclination on the part of the listener to know the Atma. He becomes inclined to know, he discovers desire to know the Atma. Later on, then the Atma is described later on. And one has to read, learn, and study, understand the Atma. Therefore, karma follows the vidhivakyam. Therefore, karma is important. Because one can read the Atmavadi Vakyani, understand the nature of the Atma, learn, read, study, understand the nature of the Atma, only after the vidhivakyam. Therefore, the vidhivakyam is followed by what? Karma. There's a karma following the vidhi. It's not just the knowledge alone. Karma following the vidhi. Therefore, vidhi is important, karma is important than knowledge. That is his argument. Just to say karma is important, knowledge is not equally important. Knowledge is secondary, karma is important. That is his argument. So first, Shankara refutes this one point. He says, if vidhivakyam, what is the vidhivakyam? Vidhivakyam is a Vedavakyam. So Atma, the Vakyam, is also Veda Vakyam. So the statements revealing the nature of the Atma is also a Vedic statement. The statements of commandments also Vedic statements. All these statements are Vedic statements only. If you say, every Vedic statement has to have another Vedic statement. Every statement should have another Vedic statement before that. Suppose reading the Veda or studying the Veda or learning the Veda should have another Vidhi Vakyam before that. Means every Vedic statement should have before that another Vidhi Vakyam. If we say it is impossible, if we say every Vedic statement should have a preceding statement of commandment, if we say, and the first, what is that first Vedic statement should have another Vedic statement of another statement of commandment, then that should have another statement of commandment. So every statement should have a preceding, you know, Vedic statement of commandment. Means then it will result in anavastha doshaha, because according to him, there is a karma, a statement karma, and the statement which is the karma, and before that there must be a statement of commandment. Means every statement of Veda should have a preceding statement of commandment, which is not practical, which is not possible. Then it will result in anavastha doshaha. The problem of infinite regression will come. Therefore, that is not acceptable. So that's how he refutes this first problem. Then Purimamasakaha, again now he takes the meaning, the word upasanam. They're different. He takes the upasita verb, he takes it again. So upasita means may, it also, it means upasanam, may one meditate. But upasanam means smriti santati karanam. Smriti santati karanam means what? One has to remember. One has to remember, continuously remember. So here one has to continuously remember. There's a continuous remembrance is involved in this, in the meditation. Therefore he says, the upasita verb, not only does it say to know, it is not enough if we simply know. We have to remember this teaching also. It is not enough if we simply know. We have to remember what you have understood. So if you continuously remember what you have understood, then what happens? If you continuously remember the Atma, so continuously remembering the Atma will help you negate the memory of the Anatma. It will help you negate the Anatma. Continuously, if you remember the Atma, it will help us remove the memory of the Anatma, which is the cause of samsara. Therefore, there is a remembrance. Therefore, the upasita, after knowing, one has to remember. Still, there is an act of remembering is involved here. That is his argument. See, vidhi is important. That's why he says this. And Shankara says, no, he doesn't accept this. Simply knowing itself is enough. Afterwards, There are a few reasons why it's not important. Artha praptihi. If we know something, naturally we remember that. We do not need any special effort, special sadhana to remember the anatma. Especially, we know there's a house. We don't repeatedly say, this is my house, this is my house, this is my house, this is my house, this is my wife, she is my wife, this is my car. We don't repeatedly do any special effort to remember the things. You know you have a car, you know you have a house, you know you have a wife. You don't repeatedly make any effort to remember them every time. You know means you know, that's all. There's no special effort involved. The special, the sadhana is not involved in remembering the things which you already know. As your wife, as your son, as your daughter, as your house, as your car, as your office. You don't remember those things. It's in day-to-day life, those things are, once you know them, they're remembered very well. Therefore, any knowledge you gain will be there in keeping with the impact of the knowledge. Memory will always be there. There's always memory, whatever you know, there's always memory of the things you know. Because anubhava janya jnanam smritihi. So any knowledge will be there in memory. We don't need to struggle too much for remembering. Why? Because all the time the artha prapti is there. Though here, therefore, there's no question of the act of remembering after knowing. The second argument also he refutes. Again, he comes back with another argument. Okay. So you don't need to make any efforts to remember the anatma. So one has to remember both atma and anatma. Atma, anatma, both will be remembered. Naturally, because once you know the atma, you know the anatma, both will be remembered. So again, there's a remembrance. And here Shankara answers, when Atma is understood very clearly, then Atma will be remembered. Anatma will be resolved there. Anatma will be there, not physically removed, but it will be negated. Which means, Atma Jnanam is the most powerful knowledge. Most powerful knowledge. Why? Because Atma happens to be the Satyam. Atma Jnanam will be the most powerful knowledge. Anatma happens to be Mithya. You know, Anatma Jnanam will be. Anatma will be there, but still it will be negated as Mithya. Second thing, even as a seeker of the truth, repeatedly throughout the Shastram, one understands what? The limitations of Anatma. How Anatma, all defects of the Anatma. How Anatma is time-bound, how Anatma is Mithya. The defects of the Anatma. How Anatma has beginning and end, undergoes changes, is time-bound, etc. All the limitations of Anatma are also understood from the beginning repeatedly. Therefore, this knowledge of the limitations of Anatma, that is dosha drishtihi also we have. We see the defects of the Anatma repeatedly throughout the study. And second thing, we also see, understand the artha prapti. We understand the Atma, what Atma is. Because of these two reasons, what happens? Atma will be remembered. Anatma memory will be actually negated as mithya. Mind will not pay attention to the anatma. So we won't be dwelling upon the atma, anatma, once the atma jnanam is very clear. Therefore, both atma and anatma need not be remembered after the jnanam. So this our second answer also is given. Now final question of the final doubt created by the presented by the Purvamasaka. Now he says, the last one. If we take the upasita verb as, may one practice yoga abhyasa. So this upasita verb can be taken as what? Yoga abhyasa. Commandment to practice meditation. Upasita. First he said upasanam as a smriti santati karanam. That he negated. Chakra negated that. Now Purvamasaka says, now take this word upasita as meditation. May one meditate. And meditate as the practice of the yoga. As a yoga abhyasa, may one practice meditation. Because here the yoga philosopher, actually Purvamasaka borrows yoga philosopher's view and he brings it here. We're not talking about the yoga philosopher here. Purvamasaka himself says, why can't we take this word upasita as meditation? So may one understand atma, then one meditate upon the atma. So here he says, no, meditation according to yoga shastra is chitta vritti nirodha. Chitta vritti nirodha. So, chitta vritti nirodha means actually obstruction of thoughts. The making the mind still. Making the mind still means what? Nirudhyeta. May one make the mind still means remove all the thoughts. So, the effort on the part of yoga, in yoga, abhyasa, meditation means the whole efforts to put the thoughts to sleep. I mean, the removal of thoughts is given importance there. Whereas, in Vedanta Shastram, as the teacher is unfolding, he creates more and new thoughts are created. So in Vedanti, as Vedanta teacher, is supposed to create the new thoughts. The thoughts are not there, the new cognitions have to be raised. Thoughts are not destroyed here, thoughts are produced here. Therefore, sarva vritti nirodha. It is said in yoga, yoga abhyasa, when a person is given to the discipline of practice of meditation, all the thoughts should drop, all the thoughts should resolve. When all the thoughts resolve, then what happens? One can remain absorbed in one's own sarupam. So for one to remain absorbed in one's own sarupam, all the thoughts have to be resolved. What he says, sarva vritti nirodhe sati drashtuhu swarupe avasthanam. So remaining absorbed in the self without any thoughts. Without any thoughts, remaining absorbed in the self is moksha. Then what happens? It means one has to practice meditation. One has to have one's, all the thoughts has to be resolved. One must go through samadhi experience. In samadhi, one remains absorbed in one's own swarupam. So swarupe avasthanam, that is moksha. So whenever the thoughts come again, moksha goes. There is no permanent moksha for him. For moksha, it must be in samadhi. But to be in samadhi, you must get your, to be absorbed in one's own swarupam, thoughts must be resolved. For which you must practice meditation. So in the waking state, there is no moksha. You have what now? Vritti sarupyam. you are with your thoughts in the, you identify yourself with the thoughts in the waking state. Therefore, vritti sarupyam is there. There's no moksha in waking. There's no moksha in dream. And then there's no, whenever vrittis are there, there's no vritti sarupyam is there. Therefore, there's no moksha. Therefore, we have to, in deep sleep state, you are not even there. Therefore, you have to practice meditation, resolve the vrittis, not even resolve. They don't even say resolve. They say remove the vrittis. And then be in samadhi. Then you remain absorbed in your own sarupam when the vrittis are not there. So you can be in your own sarupam only when the vrittis are not there. That is the concept of moksha. Therefore, vritti, whenever vrittis come, again you are with vrittis. It means there is a vritti sarupyam. Then there is no moksha. So in other states, all other states of experience, there is no moksha for a person. So that is why he says, which means we can take this as what now? We can take it as this upasita verb. Not only does it say you should know, it also says may one meditate. Because you understand the Atma, it is what the Atma is, then you practice meditation. After knowing the Atma, you practice meditation for what? To be absorbed in the Atma. If you don't know Atma, you can't remain absorbed in your Swarupam. For you to remain absorbed in your Swarupam, and you should know the Atma first. After knowing, you should put all the thoughts to sleep, for which you should practice meditation. Therefore, knowing should be followed by meditation. First he said, knowing should be followed by reading, learning, study. Then he said, knowing should be followed by remembering. Then he said, knowing should be followed by remembering both Atma and Anatma. Then he says, knowing be followed by meditating. Therefore, vidhi means the statement of commandment implies karma is important, not knowing is not important. Now he says, now Shankara says, no, the last one. No, because there is one specific chapter in Brahma Sutra. Yetena yogaha pratyuktaha. Yetena yogaha pratyuktaha. One statement says what now? Yoga philosophy has completely, totally refuted. See, yoga philosophy is not at all accepted. Why? Because in Yoga Shastram, the non-contradictory portion alone is acceptable. The contradictory portion is removed, not accepted. Because removal of thoughts, putting the thoughts to sleep is completely contradictory. It is not acceptable in Vedanta. Because in Vedanta, thoughts are not, Vedanta does not say thoughts should be removed. Vedanta says entertain thoughts. How? Vedanta vicharam kuriyat. Vedanta vichara means inquiry into the meaning of the Vedantic words means you have to entertain thoughts. In Vedanta Shastram, you are encouraged to entertain thoughts pertaining to subject matter of the Vedanta Shastra. You are not asked to put the thoughts to sleep. No, completely different, diagonally opposite. In Yoga Shastram, you are compelled to remove the thoughts. You consciously sit and work to put the thoughts to sleep. You deliberately work to put the thoughts to sleep. Whereas in Vedanta Shastram, you are asked to entertain thoughts. Not you are asked to entertain thoughts. When you are asked to do inquiry into the Vedanta Shastram, what do you do? Vicharaha means what? It's a mental activity. How can you have the mental activity of inquiring into subject matter of the Shastram with your entertaining thoughts? The diagonally opposite. Therefore, there's an acharyavan purusho veda. The person who has the teacher and who studies with the teacher understands the teaching means there is, as you are listening, the thoughts have to rise. as the teaching is given, thoughts have to rise. But no thought rises in your mind. The teacher is speaking, no thought rises in your mind. No jnanam comes means, no word enters into mind or what. Therefore, here thoughts, Vedantic teaching, Vedanta vicharaha presupposes what? Production of thoughts. Whereas in yoga meditation, thoughts are put to sleep. Diagonally opposite. Therefore, here Vedanta vicharaha, which was now, you listen, understand, accord as a study. Studying is the karma. Reading is the karma. Learning is the karma. No doubt. But all that should culminate in jnanam. Once knowledge rises, tad brahma ahamasmi, that jnanam rises. Not simply rising. The repeated listening, repeated study. Even shavanam, mananam, nidhyasanam, all these things ultimately to culminate in the clear vision of the Atma being Brahman. There, you don't need to work very hard to remember Anatma. Don't need to work very hard to undo Anatma. Anatma as Mithya is loses its importance. Atma being the Satyam, Atma Jnanam will be more powerful and will be remain there forever. Then that itself is what? Jnanam. That itself is moksha. That jnanam itself is moksha. Afterwards, nothing needs to be done. There's no karma following the jnanam in the jnanakanda of the Veda. Therefore, vidhivakyam has no relevance in the jnanakanda of the Veda. The vidhivakyam has relevance only in the karmakanda of the Veda. Okay, because there, knowledge is not enough. It is not enough. Kim kartavyam, kena kartavyam, katham kartavyam. You understand everything. Okay, yojishtamaha, swargaha aptavyaha. One has to go to swarga for which I need to perform the yojishtamaha. And how it should be performed, I should know. After knowing, I have to really sit and do the karma. The karma has to be performed. That you properly perform to enjoy the benefit. Even after perform, there's no guarantee that they'll enjoy the benefit until it is performed properly. Then there's a karma phalam. Purushartha is there, but not moksha purushartha. There is a artha purushartha is there, kama purushartha is there, dhana purushartha is there. There's no moksha purushartha. There's a para purushartha. Whereas here, may one understand this Atma being a Brahman, means here moksha purusharta is there. And this, even though it's a vidhi, may one understand it says, no doubt about it, because there's only means. A vidhi implies knowledge is the only means for moksha. Therefore, vidhi is implied there. But that does not mean it is vidhi is not relevant. Relevant here means what? It doesn't imply any karma. So the entire Veda Shastram is not karma pradhanaha. Karmakanda is the karma pradhanaha, but even though karma pradhanaha, ultimately Vedaha is jnana pradhanaha, moksha pradhanaha, natu karma pradhanaha. Is it clear? Therefore, what is this yoga for them? Yoga abhyasaha. So, it is in yoga philosophy, what the portion which does not contradict is only the yoga abhyasa portion. Not yoga darshanam. Yoga abhyasa portion is non-contradictory, acceptable for a Vedanti. So yoga abhyasa is acceptable because it contributes for the mental refinement. Yoga abhyasa contributes for the mental refinement required for the knowledge. And yoga abhyasa contributes for the attunement of the personality. Because that is important for the jnanam. Because the personality attunement is important for jnanam. Therefore, yoga abhyasa is acceptable. But it's exactly, we have to set all the set the shruti in proper condition before one starts one's concert, music concert, isn't it? All the instruments must be set to tunes, set to set in proper shruti. Only then the music concert can begin. Similarly here, for the knowledge, before the knowledge, the personality attunement is very important. There must be. Otherwise, Hajj is not possible. So for the mental refinement, mental purity and mental steadiness, personality attunement, yoga abhyasa is very important. It serves as a preparatory discipline. That much alone yoga abhyasa is accepted. But after the jnanam, yoga abhyasa should culminate in, so personality attunement is ultimately for jnanam. After jnanam, nothing needs to be done. Jnanam itself is mokshaha. Therefore, this expression, upasita, even though takara comes, even though vidhiling shabdaha, even though it commands, may one understand, one should know the Atma, being Brahman, still, after this is not a vidhi word, which emphasizes karma later on. That karma being impelled, compelled, emphasized is being important only in the karma kanda portion, not in the jnana kanda portion. Atmeteva upasita. Then definitely that sentence does not indicate any karma at all. Pure jnanam itself is the end. So karma cannot be implemented for moksha, because jnanam itself is moksha. Whereas there, knowledge has to be implemented in the performance of ritual to enjoy the benefit of that knowledge. So what is the law, the rule, what is applicable in the karma kanda should not be used here. It's not applicable in the jnana kanda portion. So there are four important answers Shankara gives to answer the karma kanda, the Purvamimamsakaha. Okay. So with this Vidya Sutra, the commentary based on the Vidya Sutra, the discussion based on Vidya Sutra is over here. Any doubts you have? Was it clear?
Swamini, is Chitti Vritti Nirodham possible without Jnana? When you come to talk about the Yoga Shastra, is Chitti Vritti Nirodham possible without Jnana?
Thank God you asked me. See, Chitta Shuddhihi, Chitta Naischalyam is important for Jnanam, which itself is Moksha. But Chitta Vritti Nirodha is not important. Not, in fact, Chitta Vritti Nirodha is not possible for Jnanam. Because Chitta Vritti Nirodha means what? It's a deliberate effort on your part to put the thoughts to sleep. Isn't it? See, that's the big difference between yoga, in yoga philosophy and Vedanta philosophy, Vedanta Shastram. The difference is Nirodha means you are obstructing. So, vritti naam nirodaha. So, all the thoughts are obstructed. All the thoughts are put to sleep. How? You make possible efforts to turn the attention, to keep the attention totally on one object of meditation. The object of meditation draws your attention totally. Then what happens? Other vrittis do not rise. Therefore, all vrittis resolve. As long as the vrittis are resolved, what happens? The stillness of mind. The stillness of mind is there, it's called samadhi. But there, ajnanam doesn't go, jnanam doesn't rise. There's no ajnanam. Ajnanam is not resolved. Of course, there's a stillness of mind. There's a temporary sukham is there. Because thoughts are not there. You don't have any identity in samadhi. Samadhi also, you cannot have any wrong identity. Because the total after you are lost in samadhi. See, samadhi ultimately helps you lose yourself. You are lost in samadhi. You know, you don't even know you are in samadhi. And even if you are there, even if you know you are, there's no ignorance is not gone. You don't know what you are there. There's no aham brahmasmi. Jnanam is not there in samadhi. You know, ajnanam doesn't go. The thoughts are put to sleep. And once again, because the object alone is there for you. Again, attention goes. Again, samadhi, come out of samadhi. Again, same ajnanam continues to be there. There's no moksha there. Whereas in Vedanta Vichara, in Vedanta, Vichara is emphasized. May you constantly inquire into the nature of the Atma. Means the inquiry into the nature of the Atma is how? The Hegelpati Shastra. You are repeatedly told to see the fact of the self being distinct from the Anatma. And that the self is distinct from the Anatma is what is you, and which is the nature of the Anatma is also you see. What is the nature of the Atma? When you see Atma is of the nature, Atma is, the reality is pure consciousness. I mean, of the nature of all pervasiveness. You are seeing. So seeing the nature of the Atma means every time you see one nature, you are entering a new thought. A thought pertaining to timelessness, thought pertaining to a spatial limitlessness, thought pertaining to beginninglessness, thought pertaining to all pervasiveness, thought pertaining to the what is pure knowledge. You do entertain thoughts. So, in Vedanta Vichara, when you do, with help of the teacher Shastram, in terms of the teaching, as you are listening, thoughts do rise in your mind. New thought, these thoughts which wouldn't have been there before. Thoughts do rise. Therefore, thoughts, you are not asked to put the thoughts off. No.
But in jnanam there is chitta vritti nirodha. But when there is jnanam, no. Again, not there.
See, in jnanam, you are not putting any thoughts to sleep. No. Thought will continue to be there. You have the distinguished, you have knowledge. You have distinguished the self from the answer, that's all. There is no
nirodha chitta.
See, thoughts are not there with what? Naturally, what happens? The jealousy, hatred, anger, the fear. Such emotions will not rise. Emotions will not be there. Emotions obtaining in the form of thoughts naturally will be resolved. That's all. Because the disease, likes and dislikes, hatred, anger, fear, all these are what now? All these are actually, the symptoms of the disease of the fundamental form of smallness centered on I. When the fundamental problem is resolved, naturally, all these things, emotions will resolve for good, naturally resolve. They cannot be triggered anymore. Nothing will trigger. But those emotions will not rise. Emotions obtaining in the form of thoughts will not be there. Otherwise, thoughts will be still there. In fact, you see in every thought you see the awareness being there. That's why pratibodha viditam matam. In every perception, in every cognition, every vritti, you see the awareness being there, in the variable thoughts, you see the invariably present Atma, the consciousness. You are able to see in Vedanta, you are helped to distinguish the truth, the consciousness being present in every vritti. We are made to hold to see. And then when it becomes very clear, the what is invariably present in all the variable thoughts, you have the ascertained vision of the what is invariably present in all the variable thoughts. That is jnana. You don't need to put the thoughts to sleep. Of course, the thought frequency will be different. thought will become much less. But there won't be totally, thoughts won't be absent. Chitta vritti nirodha is not the totally. There's no, you see, there's a deliberate effort to put the thoughts to sleep. See, you don't really make efforts to put all the thoughts to sleep. In jnanam, thoughts resolve naturally. Isn't it? Whereas you, I can understand what you mean, Ravi. You mean there's no nirodha. You don't really make efforts to put the thoughts to sleep. Okay. Understand? Thoughts yes. resolve naturally. Whereas in samadhi, there is you will involved, you make your, you use your will to put the thoughts to sleep. And for which you hold on to a given object of meditation. The object of meditation helps you what to hold your attention. And it helps you by holding your attention. But by not allowing the attention to move on to any other object. Therefore, any thoughts pertinent to the object will not rise. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So thoughts are, you are right in a way, thoughts are not there in jnanam also, thoughts will be less. There won't be too many thoughts, definitely. If relevant thoughts in keeping the situation will be there. But thoughts are not obstructed there. There's no effort on your part to put the thoughts to sleep. In jnanam, thoughts resolve naturally.
Naturally.
In meditation, you effort is involved to put thoughts to sleep. See, in jnanam, effortlessness is there. In samadhi, in meditation, effort is involved. Is it clear? Is it clear?
Absolutely.
So when the effort is involved, the kartrutvam comes. If the doership is there, ajnanam is still there. In effortlessness, there's no kartrutvam. There's no ajnanam. In fact, in jnanam, there is effortlessness. Not in effortlessness, ajnanam comes. In jnanam, there's effortlessness. There's no kartrutvam. Whereas here, the prayatna is involved.
Prayatna is involved, yes.
The will is involved. Prayatna means will is involved. Will means ajnanam is there.
So, Swami, in meditation, some of the thoughts resolve, doesn't it? It's like raga, dvesha and all. I mean, I thought there is some benefit in meditation.
No. When you are meditating, the meditation helps you see free from raga, dvesha for some time. Okay. See, only when you understand, raga, dvesha do not resolve for a good. They are obstructed for some time. So you can manage raga dveshas, you know, in meditation, through meditation. Managing are temporarily obstructed. Meditation helps you obstruct the raga dveshas temporarily. They do not undo the raga dveshas. Meditation cannot undo the raga dveshas. In jnanam, you don't need to undo because they will not be there. There's no effort is required to obstruct, to manage or undo the emotions in jnanam because they will not be there. Whereas before jnanam, in meditation, simply meditation, I'm talking about the simple meditation.
Yeah.
When you, in meditation, of course, all the thoughts, raga dveshas, desire, fear, anger, everything is obstructed. The more you obstruct, that's why sometimes the people know the anger, people who were suppressing the anger through practicing meditation. And when they don't practice it, it will become really, it will burst.
So what does it mean that it tunes your mind, meditation?
No, meditation, not mere meditation. Meditation along with the consciously living a life of dharma. See, practice, very important is consciously living one's life of values, living a life of karma yoga. Ishwarpana buddhihi prasada buddhihi, understanding is important there. Understanding of order. That is very, very important. That's why living a life of dharma, values is very important. Without living a life of values, you can never become intellectually sharp. Shastram says that intellectual sharpness is possible only when you live your life consciously. And consciously living a life means you cannot go against dharma. You go against dharma only when you are not 100% conscious. Therefore, living a life of values implies living one's life consciously with all sensitivity. And that alone contributes for, the attunement of the personality. Personality attunement, the meditation along with the mere practice of meditation without living a life of dharma will be of no use. It will aggravate the problems you have. It's exactly like suppressing the symptoms. When you're coughing, you try to suppress your cough. What happens? Don't cough for some. Hold on to your cough. I tell you, it will become worse after some time. The more you suppress, it will become worse. That is what happens without living a life of karma yoga, life of values. Simply being given to the discipline of meditation. It becomes a mere exercise. And then it will help you obstruct certain things. It may make you feel that it helps you manage your thoughts for some time. But definitely it will aggravate the problem. So meditation practiced without living a life of dharma will aggravate the problem. Meditation practice with the living a life of dharma, the understanding will help you contribute for the emotional personality attunement. That is why upasanam is actually, we don't say simply meditation, mental activity alone. In later on, upasanam has converted into Ishwar Aradhana, where my physical body, mind, the oral speech, everything is involved. The focus is on Bhagavan. Isn't it? That is, see, this is very, very subtle thing. In 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, in Swamiji's Anupam, it made very, very clear. Meditation is useful, but meditation is not the end. Meditation cannot remove ignorance. So you have, ignorance has to be removed. Ignorance has to be resolved. For which you need only jnana. So afterwards, nidhyasanam is emphasized as a discipline to ascertain what you already understood only. It is not remove ignorance. Nidhyasanam as a meditation is not for removal of ignorance. It is only for reinforcement of the fact which you already know. That too, to sort out your the habit cause errors. Definitely not. So in yoga abhyasa, the knowledge is not given importance. You're simply asked to practice meditation. So when the chitta vrittinam nirodhe, when all the thoughts are resolved, what they say, Swarupa avasthanam. When all the thoughts are negated, put to sleep, then what is there? Definitely there is Swarupam is there. But do you know that you are the Swarupam?
Yes, exactly.
You don't know. Swarupa avasthanam is what now? Swarupam is there. Swarupam always is there. Where will Swarupam go? But do you know that you are the Swarupam? See, in Vedanta, the whole problem is centered on I.
Not knowing.
Samsara is not because how Brahman is. Brahman is limitless, that's not problem. So what if Brahman is of the limitlessness? There's no point. Aham Brahma Asmi, I am that limitless reality, must become very clear, isn't it? The samsara is because of what now? The cause by the fundamental problem itself is what? the problem of smallness sits on I is the problem. And where is the I? The I has to be resolved. So, Brahma Swarupa Avasthanam is there, but Aham Brahma Asmi Jnanam is not there. There is Swarupa. There is stillness. What is there as still is pure consciousness, there is no doubt. But do you see that you are that consciousness? Where is that I? When you come into Samadhi, it's like, you know, attention is taken away from, attention has come back. It is not anymore with the truth. It is anatma again. So anatma smaranam is possible after samadhi. After jnanam, anatma smaranam may be there, but still atma smaranam, atma jnane anatma smaranam will become will be unimportant. In atma jnanam, anatma smaranam, memory of anatma will lose its impact in importance in atma jnanam. Because it's not yet the truth, satyam. Therefore, the important thing is see, nididhyasana, after jnanam also thoughts are resolved. In meditation also thoughts are put to sleep. In samadhi also. As a result of practicing meditation, in samadhi experience, thoughts are put to sleep. In jnanam, thoughts resolve, we say. But here, samadhi is a state of experience. After jnanam, it is not experience. You don't lose sight of the truth afterwards. Always you see yourself as the truth only. You see everything as the truth only. So your experience will undergo change. Fact will not undergo change, isn't it? But in samadhi, for to have that experience, there is an act, there is an effort. Whereas in jnanam, after jnanam, until jnanam effort is involved. After jnanam, there is no effort involved. What a very, very important difference that is. Anyway, it's going to come later on. We will see it again. I see people think karma kandi means the purvamsakaha, all the Vaidikas, there are people, Avaidikas, who do not accept Ishvara. But we think, generally people think Vaidikas accept Ishvara. But Purvamsakaha is a very, very serious person. Okay, he performs rituals, everything. But no Ishvara is accepted. We have our own amazing. And then a little disturbing problem, disturbance for us. We are disturbed by that. Because for Ishvara is a big emotional support for us. You had to hold on to Ishvara at the beginning. And later on in jnanam, you do not negate, okay? You don't say Ishvara is not there. You see, there's no Ishvara other than the truth. Still Ishvara is there, what? Now of the truth you see Ishvara. And Ishvara is a concept. You don't say there's no Ishvara at all. But how can he says Veda is anadi. No, he accepts the beginninglessness of the Veda. But he doesn't accept Ishvara. That is why the whole effort is only to do. No, do, enjoy. For him, Vedas really treasure hunt. Do ritual, enjoy anything. In fact, we do not know what are all the rituals revealed there. That is why we don't really see the benefit. We don't really see it. You know, it's even a small IKEA is excitement for us. We know what is in Karma Kanda. We're highly excited. Amazingly excited. What Rawls said, no? Kim Kartavyam, Kena Kartavyam, Katham Kartavyam. If you know the three, You see the Vidivaka. You can really do wonders. That is why Karmakanda is so attractive. All of them are Arthakama Dharmas. Then why do you need moksha? As long as any artha kama, what you want is available, and you enjoy, you don't need it. You won't think of moksha. You won't be interested in moksha. Everything goes smoothly in life. We never think of Bhagavan. No, I can get food. I'm physically healthy, mentally healthy. Things are okay. Everything is fine. Children are okay. Everything is fine. There's no problem in life. Health, wealth, everything is fine. You will not think of Bhagavan. You'll be going for holiday every day. Planning holidays. Isn't it? So that's what Karmakanda does. Because we don't know, we are ignorant of Karmakanda. We do not know really Karmakanda. We do not know actually meditations. Unfortunate, very, very unfortunate. Luckily, we have Sampradaya, at least retains Vedanta for us. We do not know actually what exactly the treasure is in Karmakanda and Upasana Kanda. Therefore, we don't make efforts to know that and to practice that. People who know the value of, who know what, how Swarga is described, etc., naturally they'll be inspired to go to Swarga. You know, how we are interested in going for a cruise and all that. Even travel agent is able to tempt us. Now, what I want to say here is, meditation is, of course, is a discipline. Veda itself prescribes meditation. That is why Yoga Shastra, he says yoga abhyasa as a discipline, you know, when he prescribes. So for really managing the thoughts and for disciplining the thoughts, body, mind and senses. As a personality attuned, for the attunement of the personality, yoga abhyasa is fantastic. But what do you attune his personality for? That must be very clear, isn't it? Attunement of personality should ultimately culminate in the vision of the truth. I mean, simply disciplining the mind is of no use, isn't it? When you discipline the mind will ask for more. That is why when people are given to the practice of meditation also, when they do not know what to do, you know, they have a lot of energy. They don't know when, if they're not given the discipline of this Nidhyasanam, there's some people who go mad. I tell you, people who are simply given to the practice of meditation develop a lot of emotional problems also. Other problems they develop. Psychological problems they do develop. Because they don't know what to do with the mental energy. That is another problem is there. Anyway, that is why it's made very clear. In jnanam, effortlessly emotions resolve. And relevant thoughts are there. You don't need to put them off. You don't need to see anything. See, to say what is the truth, you don't need to, you cannot undo the waveform. You don't need to undo the waveform to say what is the truth. See the, as long as you don't see the water, you see only the wave. And once somebody helps you to see the water, you see, resolve the waveform cognitively in the wave, you see the water along with the wave, no problem, but still for you, yes. Water is satyam, wave is mithya.
Yes.
You don't undo anything. So in all the invariable, you know, variable cognitions, what is invariable present is consciousness you are shown. You don't need to undo anything. We'll see. I have another class afterwards. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.